America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Next to Obama Beach, we join President Obama in paying particular tribute to the spectacular bravery of American soldiers who gave their lives on Omaha Beach for people whose names they never knew, whose faces they never saw, and yet people who have lived in freedom thanks to their sacrifice and valor.
Blue Monday, how are you, Blue Monday? Got to work, let us leave all day.
It is a Blue Monday for the Labour Socialist Party of England. They are so in the pocket of Obama that he called Omaha Beach Obama Beach. Stop the music already. They didn't hear a word I said. That was the Prime Minister of England, Gordon Brown, on a D-Day celebration, where, by the way, they dissed Queen Elizabeth of England, the only world leader still alive who actually served in World War II. They wouldn't let her appear. For two reasons. One, she's a woman, and these are a group of sexist males. And two, she would have upstaged these upstarts. But the Prime Minister of England, Gordon Brown, whose party took a real beating in elections last week, real beating because of what they did to Michael Savage, and of course the expense scandal. Of course, that was the biggest story, no question about it. But by banning a radio talk show host and linking him up with terrorists and murderers, the people of England, most of whom agree with me, but many of whom don't, said this is too far and you're out. But to go to Omaha Beach and call it Obama Beach shows me that there's a Freudian slip here. In the mind of Gordon Brown, Obama was responsible for the Allied invasion of Europe in World War II and the defeat of Nazism. In the minds of leftists across America and the U.S., Obama himself was responsible for liberating the death camps. It was Obama who landed on the beaches of Normandy. It was Obama who stopped the German counterattack in the Battle of the Bulge. It was Obama who personally entered the Führer bunker and brought a cowering Hitler into the light of day to answer for his crimes, even though Hitler had killed himself. This is the level of insanity among the global left. But there is something that Gordon Brown said that made perfectly good sense. And he said that those who landed on the beaches at Normandy showed that tyranny can suppress people, but it cannot last forever. And I agree with him. I agree with Mr. Brown entirely. Because the tyranny of his British Home Office may have suppressed Michael Savage by banning him from England and by placing my name on a list with murderers and terrorists, but this tyranny cannot endure forever. And that's why this week, a full-page letter from Michael Savage to Prime Minister Gordon Brown will appear in a major British London newspaper, and that story will not be covered by Fox, ABC, CBS, NBC, or CNN, because the government media complex in America has banned Michael Savage long before Home Secretary Jackie Smith. Now, if you want to talk about Obama, Osama, this and that, fine, what else? The big news today is that the Supreme Court just blocked the sale of Chrysler to Fix It Again Tony. They told Fix It Again Tony, no, you may not have Chrysler for a song, at least not yet. And that means that the liberals have not yet cut out enough of the pie for themselves and their cronies. Because all this is a holding operation. They're blocking the Chrysler sale to Fix It Again Tony in order to see what other money they can carve out of the deal for themselves. You know, that's what it comes down to. It's all money. 1-800-449-8255. Two journalists sentenced to 12 years hard labor in North Korea. U.S. does nothing. Obama considers halting North Korea shipments but does nothing. Supreme Court rejects a challenge to Don't Ask, Don't Tell. They lose again. 5-4. Another beating. Obama comes up with another fiction. He's going to create 600,000 jobs this summer. Nobody knows where. Obama wants to tax the wealthy to fund the health overhaul. That means so that illegal aliens can get even better medical care. Those of us who make a decent living and work for it will be taxed again. USA moved to the left under Obama. We have a neo-Marxist administration, while the European Union, which had had an experience with this for many years, has thrown out the socialist globalists and moved to the right. We have not yet had our socialist experience. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. I have a number of other personal things I'm going to talk about. I may as well do it now, since you're not interested in the news. That's all. The news you can get anywhere. You can go to the internet and get it on Drudge. You can get it on this one, that one. You heard it all before already on Blani. Blani and Wallbang already covered it and then promoted their television show. They gave you a little job. Used the radio platform to push the TV show. But let me start with food, because that's something that I specialize in. And first of all, I had the best Chinese meal of my life at Shanghai 1930. Let me get it out of the way. Yes, my friends own the restaurant. No, I get nothing for this. I haven't been there in over a year. But, you know, there's such a difference between Chinese food that you know and high-end cuisine that it's worth talking about. The reason I went is because they gave me a private dining room for four people. So I wasn't seen. I was not even heard. I was like a child, not seen nor heard, which is the only way I can eat. I don't like restaurants because I can't stand listening to other people talk. Call it a quirk. Call it a quirk of mine. I don't go out to dinner to listen to people scream. I don't go out to dinner to go listen to people scream and laugh. It doesn't entertain me. I don't need that kind of sensual stimulation. I'd prefer to eat a takeout meal in front of a television set. But anyway, I went out there, and I'm not going to describe the menu. There's one thing they have that no one else has, which is egg white rice. It's amazing. Very, very interesting dish. And then the usual, you know, the steamed fish, but and all sorts of other things. It was really lovely in a private room. Wonderful. And I suggest you try it if you can. They're very nice people who own it, and the food is really great. Shanghai 1930 in San Francisco. I have no ownership, nor do I get anything from this. And I just want you to know where it's a little different. Sunday, I went out on my boat with the captain. We would turn right at Point Bonita. If you go out under the Golden Gate Bridge, sailors know this. They do it all the time. I'm pretty much strictly a bay boater. The bay can be pretty exciting unto itself. On a windy day, the bay is like an inland sea. I mean, you can get some nice swell, some nice waves, spray in your face, crossing the bay to and from San Francisco. But if you go out under the Golden Gate Bridge and you drive about, 5 miles, you hit Point Bonita, which is the last point of land, and then you turn north in the channel. And about 5 miles out is a place you're never supposed to go over. It's like no man's land called the Potato Patch, because they sometimes get monster rollers coming in over there, so you don't go there. And we went up the coast, and it wasn't very exciting. It was fulfilling. I got to tell you something. When I came back from the ride in my boat, which I've had 6 years, the Grand Banks is the greatest yacht ever made, by the way. Again, the boat's 6 years old, and everyone says, oh, Mike, how long do you think you're going to live? Get yourself another boat. You deserve it. You know, you can afford it. You know, I got to talk about something. Why get rid of something that's perfect? It's 6 years old. It has less than 400 hours on it, and I'm not here to auction the boat off. But this boat holds the water like no other boat I've ever been on, and the newer boats change the hull design from a Ed Monk design, which is a semi-displacement trawler hull. The boat will still do 15 to 18 knots with twin 365 turbo horsepower Cummins diesels, American-made, the best engines in the world. The boat's got started every time I ever started it in 6 years. Imagine having a boat that starts every time in six. You've tried it in 6 years. Go out, come back, get in bed at night to go to sleep. Now, normally I have a high degree of anxiety in my being. That's how I've lived all my life. I'm kind of an edgy person. I've been this way my whole life. And if it would have killed people, it was supposed to be so bad for you, anxiety and stress, I would have been dead at 11. So this is a thing that drug peddlers sell you, call the American Medical Association. They tell you you're supposed to lead a stress-free life. Frogs don't even lead a stress-free life. Nobody leads a stress-free life. It's a myth in order to sell you pills and psychotherapy. But I come back from the boat ride. I have zero anxiety in my being. And when I go to sleep at night, you know what I think about? I don't think about being banned in England. I don't think about Obama, the neo-Marxist. I don't think about him killing America's economy. I don't think about arming the fruit of Islam with guns and turning them into warriors to control the population a la Hitler. I don't think of any of that. In other words, my normal fears are gone. All I could think about was the waves and the color of the water and how the boat moved in the water. There was a certain movement of the hull through the water, the way she gripped and moved and gripped and moved and gripped and moved and gripped and moved. The motion became unto itself a meditation. And I thought about something at night, and this is the point of the story. There was nothing exciting. There was nothing inherently exciting about the boat ride, but it was fulfilling. And that comes down to day-to-day life. Many of us are told by Moloch, who owns Fox News and newspapers and magazines and book companies and everything you turn, he's trying to get you excited into buying something. So he tells you to look for excitement. And the only way to get excitement is by buying something that one of his advertisers peddle. But let me tell you something. You should be seeking fulfillment, not excitement. And that's the problem with American society today. The children have been taught to seek excitement, not fulfillment. So they seek sex instead of marriage and children, because they don't understand the fulfillment of being married and having children. All they've been brainwashed into thinking is that excitement is the end of human existence. And it comes back again to the same thing, whether it be sports or salacious entertainment or bad fast food. All of these things are minimally exciting, but none of them are fulfilling. Now, you've heard all of this before. I'm pontificating on it because it came home to me over the weekend in a simple way. A simple boat ride up the coast, off the coast of San Francisco, gave me fulfillment, not excitement. And so the moral of the story is, the less excitement that you seek, the more fulfillment you will have. This is Father Savage back in a moment. It is a savage nation. There's a lot of news. There's no news. It's the best of times. It's the worst of times. You know, we could talk about news, we could talk not about the news, we could talk about Chinese food, Italian food, I'd say Irish food, but there is none. I'm joking, don't get mad. I've been in enough Irish bars to tell you that they're not known for that, okay? Let's not get angry now all of a sudden. Don't bring up anger now. Start telling me dishes with lamb, okay? Chicago, Tom, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yeah, Michael, I wanted to know what health benefits, if any, are provided by the squid ink and squid ink pasta.
I give you the philosophy of 1,000 years of evolution. Don't seek excitement, seek fulfillment. I get a question about squid ink. All right, that's the nature of the business I'm in. Wait, I will refer to the Bible, Deuteronomy 27:12. If a caller asketh thou about squid ink, after thou hast given thy heart and thy mind, tell him to shove it! I know, you don't actually find that in Deuteronomy. You will not actually find it. I don't think they deal with squid. I think it's one of the banned foods. Thou shalt not suffer a sorceress to live. I don't want to go into that. There's too many people in San Francisco. Everything that thou shalt not do, they do. And in Emenclaw, Washington, don't even ask. Wow. In Emenclaw, they actually look at Exodus 22 and do everything they're told not to do. A sorceress, a beast. He that lieth with a beast. They love the beasts up in Emenclaw, Washington. In fact, they get them from rescue centers in order to lieth with them. It's horrible. An eye for an eye. You got to look those things up, an eye for an eye. Thou shalt not cover. I don't want to read the Bible. Leave me alone. I'm tired of religious now. I'm off religion. I think I'm giving up on the whole religious thing for a while. I am so jaundiced on religion and religious. I know you're going to be disappointed, but I'm not doing. I'm taking the whole summer off from it. I don't like fanaticism in any religion. I don't like it. We talk about radical Islam. How about radical everything else? You know, I know that the radical Christians don't kill and this and that today, but you know, to me, the fanatics in religion worry me greatly. Just as the fanatics in government worry me greatly. I don't like fanaticism. So I'll say, well, you're a fanatic because you believe in borders, language, culture. All right, so you define your enemy as a fanatic, whatever you want to say. I'm not into this whole religious thing. I think it's a racket. This organized religion bothers me. Sure, I believe in God. I'm going to give me the litmus test. First of all, it's my business whether I do or not, but I do. Why? Because I'm afraid that if I gamble wrongly, I'll be cast into you know where for eternity. So I have that basic let us say, primal or childish view of the world. If you're braver than me and you don't care what happens to you after you die, all right, whatever. I was raised another way, and that's the end of the story. That's how I shall be. I'm pretty sure there's a creator. But truthfully, I can get closer to God through an elephant and through a gorilla and giving to the Gorilla Fund and the Elephant Fund and seeing that anyone who poaches a gorilla and cuts his hand off, they hunt them down and they knock them off. You know, I mean, I gave money to a group that hires a military to go out and kill the poachers who cut off the hands of a mountain gorilla, because they should. And then the ones who cut the tusks off elephants are the wonderful, sensitive, kindly Asians in North Korea can make penis shrouds with them. So I made up a statement. He who saves a single elephant, it is as though he has saved the entire herd. Mark it down. It's a takeoff on the Maimonides thing. He who saves a single life, it is as though he saved the entire world, which is true. But at this point, I'd rather save an elephant. I have more faith now in the elephants and the gorillas than I do in human beings. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of the racket. I'm sick of the red and the black. You know, I read it years ago, the whole red and the black thing, where the only way to get ahead in Napoleonic France was, remember Stendhal's great book? I think it was Stendhal, wasn't it? The Red and the Black. Does anyone know? Look it up, see if I'm right. I think it was right. French writer, the book was called The Red and the Black, and it was about a young man who's ambitious in France, and he's trying to look ahead in his life, and how does he get ahead? There's only two ways to get ahead in Napoleonic France, either through the red or the black, either wearing the red of the uniform or the black of the priesthood. And it's about this aggressive individual who's, ambitious. And he has to choose either the red or the black. Nothing's changed here, and in some ways, I mean, it's not the military's not going to give you any great, let us say, external rewards in our country. The people who are committed in the military are truly patriotic and truly do it for their own satisfaction. They don't do it for any societal rewards. It's the same with the police. All right, some do it for the pension, or most do. But the fact of the matter is there's an awful lot of cops and military do it for the honor of defending the nation. But now go to the priesthood or the rabbinate or any one of those areas. What do you think? They're in it for God?
Savage.
It's Blue Monday. What do you want from me? You want to talk about Chrysler? Think I care about that? Well, a group of racketeers there. They're going to see if they can carve out a little more money. So, you know, dividing up the spoils. Chrysler shouldn't have gotten 10 cents of TARP money. Chrysler should have been just rolled up and thrown away, as far as I'm concerned. What do you mean we're bailing Chrysler out? It's a privately held corporation by a firm of investment bankers, one of whom is a former Treasury secretary. They're robbing the public, the whole deal. But I don't want to – please don't call about Chrysler. I know about the story where they killed dealers that didn't give money. We know. Sotomayor with the cast. She twisted a leg, got on the plane, wasn't – all of a sudden she comes out with the cast and a crutch. Why? Sympathy. Sympathy now. Now who's going to attack a woman now on a crutch? Boy, are they devious. See, Obama came back. His hair is salt and pepper again. Last week it went from – there was like – there were allegations, does he dye it? Because sometimes it's a little gray, then it's black again. Now he comes back from England, and his hair is distinctly salt and pepper. Now, I don't know whether the Twitters are giving him the jitters, but something's wrong here. What, does Axelrod get Twitters? They're telling him internal polls say that he's failed in England, that no one's buying his malarkey, that he flopped with his speech to the Saudi king. The whole country's saying, which side is he on? His hair's gray, for God's sakes. The best picture of the whole trip is Mrs. Sarkozy, the beautiful French model, sitting there with her nose up, staring at something, with mean Michelle Obama glowering at her, looking like she's wearing a tank top at some event. What's with Michelle's clothing? What is wrong with this woman? Can't she wear a dress like other dignified first ladies? Look at that picture on Drudge. Where'd he get it from? That's stunning. What's her name, Mrs. Sarkozy? Carla Bruni. Beautiful girl. Wow. Michelle looks angry. Woo. Steaming at her. Wow. What a thing. The Twitters must have given him the jitters because the hair is already gray again. That's all. So I'll take calls on anything that you want. Whatever. Movies, food, what kind of engagement ring to buy, what's the best shoe made, the best boat. I feel like giving advice today.
Mike, can you tell me what kind of shoes to buy? I've turned the age of 40 and my arches are starting to... Please, if you call on that, I'm quitting.
George in Sacramento, welcome to the Savage Nation.
So, Father Savage, I have a 18-foot runabout in the Delta. Would it be a death wish for me to take that out through Benicia and run it into the San Francisco Bay around Alcatraz?
You're asking a loaded question. You used the word death wish. I didn't, right?
Yes.
George, on a calm day, yeah, but by the time you got from the Delta down to the Bay, the weather would change, right?
More than likely.
Yeah, and it changes very rapidly here, and I wouldn't recommend going out on the bay in an 18-foot boat unless your middle name is Nanook. All right, thanks. No, I wouldn't go out on the bay in an 18-foot boat. No, not me. No, 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 sir. Next case. Good time, Charlie. I saw a piece of a movie I saw before. 1945, black and white, Turner Classic Movies, TCM. I forget it already, the name. Why did I bring it up? Well, I don't even know. Barbara Stanwyck, where she builds up a restaurant and the husband's dead at the end. She's like, the husband leaves her. She's broke and she got a snotty daughter and the other daughter dies. Very good movie. I love the early L.A. scenes in 1940s L.A. All the men wore a hat. Everyone had like haberdashers in those days. The women wore gloves and suits. The streets, there were no gangbangers with tattoos running around the city. It was an amazing city. Hats, gloves, normal. You caused trouble, the LAPD beat you up and threw you down into a waterway and could cut down crime in Burbank and Pasadena. They were garden centers. Now they're shooting galleries with drive-bys. Wonderful. Isn't it great? Isn't America a great place? Wonderful place. Oh, America's much better now that it's highly diverse, particularly California. Bankrupt and crime-ridden with broken roads. Tremendous. And that moron strudel eater, the governor, says that illegal aliens who are sucking us dry have nothing to do with the deficit. You hear this? What a putz. What a schmuck. You know, if he had any brains, he would say, well, they don't account for the whole deficit, but a part of it. The schmuck comes out and says they account for none of it. The health care alone for the illegal aliens is about $18 billion a year. It just shows you what he got between the ears. You know, too many pastries over the years. Get at it. Don't even call me on any of this. Let me hear the sound I have today. Hold it. I'm going to run down the sound. North Korea journalists, grave crimes. We know about that. Boo-hoo. Get them out. Hillary Clinton is intervening on their behalf. I understand it. She still hasn't answered me, by the way. Apparently, freedom of speech doesn't matter to her, and there's no political gain from it. Obama advisor David Axelrod, a well-known socialist, urging taxes on the wealthy to pay for health care reform. Go ahead, try it, David. See if it does anything good. It's unbelievable to me. You know, you tax the wealthy and you drive them out of a state. You tax the wealthy and you drive them out of business. Have they not learned what the Europeans have learned? We went through this with Jimmy Carter. Jimmy Carter destroyed the economy. Jimmy Carter almost destroyed the military. Here it is again, all over again, with Obama and the same group of goons. The same idiots. They know nothing. What do you want to talk about here? San Francisco, Dan, KNEW, go ahead, please.
Yeah, good afternoon, Michael. I was wondering if sometimes I watch the international news, you know, on RT or DW or French, they call it France 24. And I was listening to these idiots comment on the returns in Europe, and they were in a panic. One guy said, like, this is a nightmare, these returns. Like,
what do you mean, that the leftists got knocked out and the conservatives are winning all across Europe? What's the nightmare?
Exactly. I was watching that.
Well, what's the nightmare? They may save their countries from the invasion of illegal aliens from the Middle East?
Leave the comment on this guy. I don't know if you caught it. I was watching.
Nah, I didn't catch it. I didn't catch it. But sure, they're in a panic. The communist game is up in England, in Europe. Sure, they've had a good run. 20 years, they've wrecked Europe. They've destroyed the country. They've taken away the people's dignity, their nationality. And they flooded the country with illegal aliens who want to throw the country down the toilet. Thanks for the call. Play some music. Make believe it's Rock and Roll Friday. I'm already hitting a bad... There you go. That's perfect. I love this. Who is it? Don't say it. Hold it. It's an Alzheimer's test. Hold on. Don't say a word. Not a word. No, not a word. No hints. Bobby Darin. Okay, Beyond the Sea. I'm slower. I can tell you just by telling. I test my mind like That was slow. I can see I'm a little troubled now. I'm going to do this once or twice a week now and see my memory right on the air. You'll see it go downhill over the years. Till eventually I'm like, hello, this is the Savage Nation. I'm Michael Savage. Welcome to the show. We got quite a day for you here. Now that I'll sound like Rush Limbaugh. I get nothing out of it. I don't get a rise out of this. It's nothing to me. How long ago? Grata Zura, forget about it. You know, heard it. At that time, it was okay. It's nothing anymore. None of that does anything for me. Nothing. I've reached a point where nothing moves me at all. An animal, maybe, the dog, caring for an animal. Humans, forget about it. My father taught me. I fought with him day and night. He said to me, it's a dog-eat-dog world. And I was like Mr. Idealist from Queens College. All the teachers were communists from those days. Every one of them was a commie. Every last one of them, a left-wing radical. Came to America, kissed the earth, and then spit on America. Got a job at Queens College and tried to inculcate the very thing they ran from in Europe. So I was like brainwashed as a kid in college. Oh, yeah, the poor are oppressed. People kept them down. Right, sure. Yeah, everyone keeps them down. How could some poor rise up if all the poor are kept down? How do you explain that? So, you know, whatever. He said, oh, dog-eat-dog world. You'll find out. No, it won't. People are nice. Yeah, right, sure, people are nice. Cynic is cynic, what can I tell you? It is a dog-eat-dog world, like I didn't know it. It's not that I've done so badly. I mean, I'm pretty aggressive, and I'm very ambitious, and I have been all my life, and I'm proud of it. That makes it sound like it's like a crime. Being ambitious is a crime to the loser. Do you know that? I knew him when he was young. He was always trying to get ahead. Duh. What were you trying to do? Smoke dope? Idiot? That's some guy I knew. He writes obituaries for a religious newspaper. Never amounted to Jack, you know what. Thought he'd be Hemingway. He wound up Hemingway's shoeshine boy. So someone wrote an article on me 2 years ago. He went and stabbed me in the back. He said, oh, yeah, he was always ambitious. Like, that's a curse. Mr. Fair-minded. Oh, my God, what people. They really resent people who get anything, and they don't. It's the truth. People are jealous. The seven cardinal sins. I'm guilty of them, some of them. You didn't hear me. I figured I'd get hit with the religious fanatics when I said I'm through with fanaticism. I wish I could tell you why and explain the whole story, what happened, but I can't. It's too personal for me to get into it. And I think the names have to be protected to protect the guilty here. And I don't think there's any way I can tell you what happened without giving away who I am speaking about. So I think I'll leave that one go because I don't actually dislike the individuals that I'm now completely through with forever in the religious world. But they're never going to see a red cent from me, I can tell you that. It's unbelievable to me. Let me put it to you. How can I do it in a way? I was donating small amounts of money to certain groups, okay? The elephants to this. I'm reaching that point where they're 501c3s. They have to be a nonprofit group. Don't write me any letters from a prison that you need money because you were a misunderstood genius. Please, you're not. It has to be a 501c3. So I'm bailing you animal groups and environmental groups. You know, the pelicans, the manatees, the elephants, the leatherback turtles, the bears that are being tortured by the wonderful kind Chinese that they torture in cages over there in the wonderful sensitive land. You know, we're the bad ones. They're the good ones. It's Obama, the same thing. They torture people every day of the week in the Muslim countries, but we're the torturers and they're the good guys. Everything upside down, Obama. The whole world is upside down to him. What'd you expect? You asked for change and you got it. Now we're bad and they're all good. The Muslim world is suddenly good. The women can't drive. They perform clitorectomies in 80% of the Muslim world, but it's a wonderful place to live. Not one peep out of the women's movement. Revisionist history. So one of the groups, let us say, that I was going to donate a small amount of money to was a religious group. And as part of my charter as a man giving money, I have to find out how the money is going to be spent. You have to ask. You can't just give money to a group without getting an answer from them in advance. Otherwise, you could be violating the tax code. And also, their 501c3 status could be challenged, incidentally. And you know many charities are rackets. You know that. And if the government really wants to make money, they really ought to go with a fine-tooth comb through the 501c3s in this country. I can guarantee you they'd pull in about $200 billion the first year. Okay, put me in charge of that one, Mr. Obama. I'd gladly work for the government for $1 a year. I could bring in probably $100 billion for the dollar. I know just where to start. You started with these. So I start inquiring, blah, 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 what are you going to do with the money? And comes back to me that one of the religious individuals who was going to receive the money tells me that he's going to take some of the donation I'm giving, the whole thing, to take a year off and to be with his wife worry-free for a year, because that's what he was taught. And I couldn't believe what I was reading. So I send back a note to him today, and I say, you have some nerve asking me to subsidize a year without working. I kill myself each day trying to do right in the world, and nobody subsidizes me. Moreover, nonprofit tax laws prohibit us from donating to the upkeep of an individual. All funds must be limited to the meaning of the tax code, only for organizations, not individuals. And then I go on and I say, religion is about service and about work. Religious people are supposed to have a profession or a trade. And I say, I have some advice for you. Learn a trade or you'll be running after people for money the rest of your life. You are a good person, but you need someone to tell you this. The old days are over. Money is tight. People don't have as much as they did 10 to 20 years ago. As the years go by, it will get harder, not easier. You still have time to learn a trade. Use it wisely. So, I mean, it's a hard thing to send somebody, but I think I did this young man a favor. To spend the rest of your life as a mendicant and asking people to subsidize your lifestyle and using God as a weapon, to be honest with you. I'm sorry, I'm not into it. I work too hard for every dime, and I know everyone else who works for a living in my family. Everybody works all day long, every day of the week. So just because you hold God up as a over your head, like you know God and I don't, you know what? I know God as well as you do, and I can find God by going out into the bay and looking at a bird laying an egg. If I see a baby seal swimming toward the boat, I see God. If I see a group of pelicans flying in a V formation and they're shifting point as they're flying, I see God going back millions of years. I see the wisdom of God in how the animals have the brains to shift point so that there's always a leader in the pack. Okay? So I don't necessarily need the mumbo jumbo to get there. Thank you. I'll be right back. Savage.
What's the success of religion? Drama. And that cat brought that tore up. That's with a beard. Now, don't be cut so with a, you know, Princeton suit. And it shall be said that children of Israel today, we noticed in the Anastasia, and I talk to them, and they just digress and get away from religion and get cute, you know, and they start building projects. And then it gets to be no shul at all. There's been a lot of talk about, is there a God? We don't know. That's not what we're here for. We're here to build a new Jewish community center. Then it goes, Christ most well. What is that? That's for fallen already.
All right, we'll do that later. That's Lenny Bruce in his great piece on Religion Incorporated. That was very funny when it first came out. Very funny. Very funny when you're reliving it. Very even funnier when you're reliving it. Oh, by the way, the movie that I mentioned earlier on The Savage Nation is called Mildred Pierce, starring Joan Crawford, Anne Blythe, Jack Carson, Zachary Scott, and Eve Arden. But interestingly, the screenplay was written in part by William Faulkner, because the dialogue is amazing. And the pace of the movie is astonishing. The act, I love when they do the black and white from the bottom. They can make the eerie, then they go the way. They did lighting in those days. They can't do anymore. George Lucas doesn't even know lighting. It's like the same thing with everything. Everything is an action figure. They wind up governors. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Europe moves to the right, America swings to the left. And you ain't seen nothing yet. Obama's just warming up. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Go to the website. Go ahead. Look up the stories. Come on, I'm not taking calls on hair loss. Stop it. They're putting real crackpot callers up here. No, I'll tell you, you want me to talk about hair loss? What do I know about hair loss? I lost hair. What should I tell you about that? I love that guy who wrote me the letter. He wants his first year in marriage to be worry-free. You hear this? I should pay for it. I remember when I had my first child, I would have loved a 1 year worry-free. I haven't had a day worry-free yet. I'm 67. He wants a year. The chief guru told him to have a year, worry-free years, so he could set off in life and do good for the world. Very nice. I'll tell you what my first year of marriage was with my first child. It was working 17 days a week. I would have loved a worry-free year. It would have been lovely to stay home and stroke my baby, you know, kiss my wife. Where does this come from, this idea that a religious person doesn't work? Whoever heard this? This is not even a biblical mandate. If you go back to the Bible, work was essentially a part of a human's life, whether they were religious or not. The guys in the temple, the Sanhedrin, the guys who condemned Christ, how many of them were there in the Sanhedrin? 10? I forgot already. Remember the movie The Passion of Jesus? There were like three judges who said, no, he didn't do that much. Don't kill him. Remember that? The other guy says, no, he's a troublemaker. Put him on the banned list. Give him the cross and tell him to take a walk. No, he didn't do anything, man. He was just telling people not to be too greedy. That's enough. We don't need him around. He's trouble. He's interfering with the giving. He's interfering with the giving. We need the money. And the people are like, wise up. Put him on the cross. He didn't do anything, three of them said. We don't care what you said. Seven said condemn him. That should go over well in Crown Heights. Yeah, that's 1-800-449-825. You know, to each his own. Leave me out of it, though. I don't know. The whole thing is getting to me now. It's like it's all coming full circle. Everything in my life is coming back to where it started. Just that I'm older with it, that's all. Just older. No different. I'm the same height. And you think about it, nothing. Your height doesn't really change over time. Think about that. Well, it does. If you live long enough, everything goes and you shrink. That's the real kicker that God gives you. If you're lucky enough to live long enough, you lose every function in your body and you shrink in size. Perfect. What a reward for living a long and wonderful life. You shrivel up and every organ goes. Terrific. Great. What a scene. What a scene this is. Every day a joy. Every joy is every second another joy.
Savage. Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Savage Nation Rock and Roll Monday. I can't wait to Friday. It's getting longer each week, Friday. Almost the summertime. If I was normal, I'd be planning a vacation. I was a normal person. What do? You go away for 2 weeks, go fishing? What do? What do normal people do? Disneyland? Your kids are young, all right. I went to Disneyland once. I needed to take Valium the whole time. I did. I couldn't tell you. I almost lost my mind. It's like I went to Masada. I had to take a Valium. A bus ride from Jerusalem took forever. Here is where the soldiers held off the Romans. Then what? Then they were all slaughtered. Great. How exciting. I can envision the soldiers throwing themselves off the cliff. That made sense. They just should have given up and had to, you know, open a pizzeria. Would have been a better choice. 2 years the siege went on. Then eventually they came up and killed them and threw them over the swords. Great. What am I standing here for over the Sea of Galilee? But Disneyland was about the same experience. Horrible, mind-numbing. Horrible. My mind feels like when I get around places like that, these amusement parks, when the kids were younger, it was like so hard for me to deal with that. People think that when you have children, you have to like act extra normal. That's what drives children into drugs. When you try to conform to some hallmark card of what you should do with your children, that's when the child reaches for drugs. I mean, try to lead the life that you want to lead with kids, you know, and let them tag along. Don't do what's good for them necessarily because they're going to hate it as much as you do. Do you ever see children on vacations with their parents? They're bored out of their minds. I'm talking about after they're like infants. What does an infant know? And a young child, whatever you do is fine. There's nothing more depressing than seeing a couple, let's say, like the hardest age to take kids on a vacation is like, let's say, the girl is 12 already, and she's just at that point where, okay, and then the boy is maybe 14, and he's already been on the internet too long, in the locked bay, and so you take them on vacation. It's like taking along an adult couple who you detest, and you're paying the bill, and they don't want to talk to you over dinner. They don't want to be with you. You ever see them like in the hotels around the world, like in Hawaii, the 12 and 14-year-old kid and the couple? Hey, we're having a good time. You would like another macadamia nut sundae? Dad, please, you know. The girl's already looking at the bus boy, and the boy's looking at the bus girl, and they don't want to be there. They wish their parents gone without. So having a couple with you, and they don't talk to you, and you're paying the bill. And the whole flight home, everyone's like, ugh, depressed on the plane. That's two-week vacation. I had to take a painting when the kids were young. It got so bad. I was on such the precipice of the hotel balcony. I went and got a watercolor set. I still have those pictures somewhere. I bet you they bring a lot of money today if I auction them off. Some of them were quite good. One was a picture of a car. I remember that to this day, I did a watercolor of an automobile without wheels, with two adults and two children going nowhere, with a little island in the middle of it. That's quite an interesting picture when you think about it. Because you always like rent the car. Oh, now what? Let's go on the H1 freeway and see the traffic. Then let's go to a Porky Boy diner and see the hostile locals. It's unbelievable. I love they used to drive Dodge Chargers and eat double cheeseburgers and hate the Howley. I knew it was time to get out of there. Everything they took was from the Howley, and everything they hated was from the Howley. Forget about it. That's why I came here to wonderful San Francisco, the land of freedom. Yeah, huh? You hear the chains rattling as they beat each other with them. So I got calls. I don't know. None of them appealed to me. Nobody. No one heard a word I said yet today. Let's see. I'm going to read like a rich in New York life in the 40s versus today. I can't deal with that. I don't think anyone wants to hear about his Uncle Murray wearing a brown suit. You know, okay, so kill that one. Maryland, happiness versus middle of the road. I don't know. Savage advice of perfect food from Canada. What do I know, perfect food? I eat spaghetti 10 times a week. Is that a perfect food? I'm still living. You can give me spaghetti 3 times a day and I'll eat it. It's white bread and it's no good for me. Gluten? No, everyone's with the gluten. Every few years, there's another discovery as to why people were overweight and tired. And it works for a while until eventually you realize that as you get older, you get overweight and tired. They all want a miracle cure. They all discover it. Oh, yes, your problem is that you have a leaky gut and you have a celiac. Whoa. Okay, that's sure if you cut down on wheat and you're going to lose a little weight if you stop eating bread. There's no question about it. We knew about that 50 years ago. Look at the beekeepers of Somalia. I mean, they're in pretty good shape. They live on, like, pollen, you know, and whatever else. Of course they're thin because they're starving to death. My mother had a different theory about men. Stuff them, and stuff them again. That's how they placated the men in those days. Ethnic mothers all did that. They understood men were basically dangerous animals that could yell. In those days, some of them could hit. My father didn't, but some did. Violent, loud, they smelled. So the best way to control them was feeding them, like a zoo. Oh, whenever the guy got up, here, eat something. Whatever, he was hungry or not, they made delicious food, and the guy ate it. And by that time, he was so, like, sluggish from the food, he was sated, and he slowed down. And there was less danger of a blow-up in the house if the guy was stuffed. Then they died at 40, 45 of a heart attack. If they were lucky, they went to 57, whatever. And the women lived another 25 years on the money that was left over in the house. It was a deal. They worked it out. She suffered the whole life from this bum and then lived on a little bit of money at the end, and that was the whole story. They had a whole workout. Today, it's not like that anymore. Today, with the Viagra and God knows what else, the guy thinks, oh, yeah, he wants a 20-year-old wife at 72. What do I know what people are going to get? You want me to do news? Hillary Clinton responds to the sentencing of the American reporters in North Korea. Oh, yeah, I'll do news. The great Hillary Clinton, though. Savage brings down Labour Party, biggest story in the UK. I didn't write that. The blog in England wrote it, The Right Perspective. Won't be covered by Fox, ABC, CBS, NBC, and CNN, all part of the golden media. That's all. I don't know what I want to do right now. It's a weird time. Is it June already? I don't know what year it is. Can someone come in and say, Mike, it's okay, you can leave the microphone now? No, I mustn't leave. I've got to save the people. Michael, it's okay, they'll get along without you. No, they count on me every day. No, it's okay, Mike, you can let go now. Please, Michael, get the pliers, take his hand off the microphone. I mean, it's like I go to sleep with this thing of mine. It's like a leaf blower to me. So there we are. Obama's enemy list grows. Nice guy, Obama. Why is it his salt and pepper hair? As I say, the Twitterers are giving the jitters. That's what's going on with him. Ooh, did he bomb in Europe. Whew, what a speech. Pandered to the Muslims, got bling. Then went on and said, Jews bad, Muslims good. Western world not liberated, Arab world liberated. I couldn't believe this. It's like listening to a nightmare speech. How come he glorifies a nation that oppresses women and homosexuals, and there's not an outcry from women and homosexuals in America? Can anyone explain that to me? When are they going to catch on to the fact that no politician is good for them or for anybody else, that they're all liars? When are they going to catch on to this? 1-800-449. I don't want to read my number anymore. If you don't know it by now, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. It was a better piece from that I wanted to play, the D-Day thing. I watched a little bit of a D-Day. They had all D-Day movie marathon over the weekend. A little bit of Saving Private Ryan. Very touching. Boy, Spielberg really did it with that movie. The last scene of the guy on Omaha Beach watching his friend die and how they changed him into the old man at the cemetery. I tell you, tears came to my eyes. It was so pronouncedly great. Spielberg did a great job with that movie. No question about it. Did I live a good life? Was I a good man? Come on, it's touching. I wouldn't ask my wife that, but okay, in a movie you could ask that. Because you ask your wife that, you know what she's going to say. I don't know, I'll give you maybe a C. You know, guy is like shaking and he's ready. Had prostatectomy after his body's been cut out from a... Did I live a good life, Molly? Was I a good man? No, actually, you're a piece of garbage, truthfully. You never provided well enough. Your mind was always drifting. No, you weren't really a good man. Your children hate you. Now, you didn't lead a good life. You should have been left on the beach there. Would have been better. Oh, no. What happens if your wife says that to you at 75? Was he live for that whole... He lives for one woman to tell him his life was worthwhile. He's going to get it from a person? Everyone you know is going to disappoint you at some time in your life. You've got to understand that. That's the rules of the game. It's the rules of the road. Everyone you know will disappoint you, including yourself. Now, if you know that, then you're able to walk through life like a true American, like a real patriot. Expect nothing from anybody and expect terrible things to happen to you your entire life. Then you'll have a real view of the world. Otherwise, you're walking around like an idiot. No wonder they sell you pills for depression. Of course you need a pill to put yourself into a dreamland. I'll be back.
Hey, la di ding dong, la lang a lang a lang, boom ba lo, ba do ba do ba bay.
Oh, life could be a dream if I could take you up in paradise up above. If you would tell me I'm
it
the
is
only one that
Rock and Roll
loves.
Monday, Savage Nation.
Life could be a dream, sweetheart.
Crew cuts, shaboom.
Today
they'd be called the Skinheads.
If only all my precious plans.
Did you have a group come out called the Skinheads and they sang Shaboom?
Let me spend my whole life loving you. Life could be a dream.
Put in hate lyrics? Oh, that would be horrible. Oh, God, what a world. My skin is tight from the sun. I got to put some lotion on my skin. My head gets, like, the skin on my forehead gets tight. I try to avoid the sun, but the reflection. The reflection of Point Bonita means Bishop. You know what Point Bonita means? The bonnet. You go out at San Francisco Bay, Point Bonita. It comes from the Spanish bonnet. Everything's in the Spanish language. The language of the conquistador. I never understand that, the pride in the Spanish language amongst the people from Mexico. What's the pride? It was a conqueror. This is the part I don't understand. If they spoke, let's say, an Indian dialect, I could understand the hubris. But what's the pride in Spanish when it was the language of the conqueror? The disconnect is overwhelming. We're against European conquest, but we speak the language of the European conqueror. The apple of wisdom. So where are we? What are we doing? What's the big news? Sarah Palin is back. Why? Why are we being plagued by that woman? You know, if the Republicans want to commit suicide, there's nobody better to do it with than Sarah Palin. Here's the you want to see Obama again? Run Palin and Gingrich as a combo. You'll have Obama for the next 100 years. Are they crazy? That's the hope for the Republican Party is Sarah Palin. You hear this? It's a closed shop. Don't you get it? Both parties are closed shops. Con men. Con men and con women from top to bottom. It's like anyone who rises in the system is no good. It's as simple as that. It has to be outside the system. Give me a soldier who came back from fighting in Iraq and run him for office as a congressman. I'll back him 100%. Then let him run for the presidency if he shows the brains and the vision. That's what I want to see. A general. But even by the time they get that point, they're ready. They're politicians, most of them. You know that and I know that. So what's the hope for America? I don't have any. Only God knows what could save this country. Every day, another initiative, another discussion, another initiative from Obama. He bankrupted us from $1 trillion to $3 trillion, but he wants to spend another trillion. Now health care, then illegal aliens. Where's the money coming from? Can't someone rein the guy in already? Goes to Saudi Arabia and bows down and gets a gold necklace for being a good person. Michelle doesn't go because why? No one asks the question. I'm the only one who says the king has no clothes. The king has no queen. Don't you remember my show last week? Why did Michelle not go to the Middle East, boys and girls? Raise your hand if you know the answer. Because women are oppressed in Saudi Arabia. Okay? Oh, yeah. A woman calls us. No, she stayed home with the children. She's a good mom. Suddenly, stay-at-home mom. Michelle Obama, stay-at-home mom. Huh? She went to Paris to go shopping. That's what she did. She met him in Paris where it's safe for a woman. She wanted to go to the land of the oppressor. That's why she didn't go to the Middle East. Supreme Court blocks Chrysler sale to fix it against Tony. That's an interesting one. They never should have let Fiat buy it. Not at all. Cerberus Capital Management, look into it. Take a look at the board of directors on Cerberus Capital Management. Your hair will stand up. Your hair will stand up. You take a look. They got money from you? They invested money as investment bankers in Chrysler, made a bad bet, and now you have to pay them back. You have to give them $25 billion for their bad bet. To top it off now, you've got to back the sale to Fiat so they can cash in again another $25 billion of your money. Who's doing all of this? That schwerp named Geithner, in combination with Bernanke, Mr. Barbasol, in combination with the Treasury Secretary. And behind it all is that wonderful, distinguished human being from Harvard, whose name you don't even know. He's so smart, this guy, Larry Summers, no one even knows his name. He's the one behind it all now. He's pulling the strings. Timothy Geithner is like a shoeshine boy compared to him. The guy don't know what he's doing. He had to sell his own, he had to mortgage his own house. He had to rent it out in order. The guy doesn't make any money. How can he run the biggest treasury in the world if he doesn't make any money? How would you hire someone to run a treasury department if the guy can't make a buck and has to rent out his own house because he can't meet the payments? You put someone in there who has money, who understands money. Someone who's worked in the world of money. That should be Treasury Secretary. Not a schmuck from Lawrence, Long Island, who can't even stay in his own house. You hear this? I never saw anything like this. A band of losers like this. Play another song. I don't want to hear Shabop, though. I got calls. I got, like, my eyes are, like, blurred from it. No, come on. Come on. Don't make me, like, that corny. Come on, just, like, rock and roll with something to it. Who is this, the Everly Brothers? About a working old summer just to try to Eddie Cochran? Yeah, this guy's like father saved us in World War II. Sang this music. No, they're the fathers who like stormed the beaches at Norway. Normandy. The ones who are on Iwo Jima. These kind of guys are like camels in their undershirt, the sleeve, the crew cut. And like a Ford, the drag race. You're sneered at by the vermin elite. The backbone of America sneered at by the vermin elite. The vermin elite who can't bang a nail, saw a piece of wood, connect the wire to a lamp. They spit on everybody who does anything in this country. You think I don't know it? So you say, all right, I got one foot in both worlds. I mean, don't act like I'm poor. Which side are you on? Let me tell you, I'm in both worlds. The truth is I'm in both worlds. I came from one world and I'm in another. But the fact is I live alone in my own world, my family only. That's my whole world. That's it. I don't associate with the elites. I don't go to some secret meetings with them. I don't care what they think. That's all. I don't like any of them. I hate people who dump on the guys who really do something in this world. I hate their guts, to be honest with you. Most of them were always horrible, even in high school. It's like the Henry Kissinger type. Walked around with his nose in the air like he knew something. He was always better than everybody. Big deal. So he worked for Rockefeller before they found Rockefeller dead of a heart attack on his secretary. They had to get a crane to take him off the old lady. Remember that story? He was stooping her and died on her and on the desk.
Savage. Up in the morning and out to school. The teacher is teaching the golden rule. American history and practical math. You study them hard and hoping to pass. Working your fingers right down to the bone.
The guy behind you is going to rise up and take the country back like they did in Europe. When is this going to happen here? Sarah Palin you're waiting for? Are you people crazy? You've got an extinct dinosaur called the Republican Party. You've got a corrupt socialist party called the Democrats. The whole thing is tax, 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 and BS, 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 with Obama as the double talker in chief. When are the people going to come to understand that they've lost not only their nation, but very soon their freedom? Here are the headlines. North Korea jails U.S. journalist, warns U.N. We've lost every step of the way. Everyone challenges Obama and everyone wins. Every country has challenged Obama. He's failed at every turn. Remember they said when he became president, he's going to be challenged right away? It is now June. He's been challenged right away. Flopped everywhere. North Korea, whichever you mentioned, they challenged him. He didn't do anything. Crews find more bodies from Air France crash. Canadians angered over Buy American rule. So they're passing a Buy Canada rule. This is an interesting story. The head of technology firms have hired a Democrat from Clinton's era to blast the Obama tax plan. Obama's finally getting some blowback from the Democrats who actually make a living. And they're saying you're going to actually destroy jobs if you go through with your tax the rich plan. China influenced to grow faster than most expect, says George Soros. Now, that's interesting. Here he is again, the man who almost broke the British pound. George Soros, the so-called financier, is now pushing China's global influence. What is this guy? Is he the one behind the destruction of the U.S. dollar? I mean, he is known as a money trader, right? He almost broke the British pound. He almost broke the Malaysian currency. Has he bet against the U.S. dollar in order to destroy it? Because today, a Chinese economist says we should issue bonds in the yuan, not in the dollar. When are you people going to wake up to understand that some people are not very good and some people don't care whether you wind up in chains? Here's George Soros says, in many ways, Chinese banking has benefited from being isolated from the rest of the world and is in better shape than the international banking system, said George Soros in an audience at Shanghai's Fudan University. The influence of the state is also greater, said Soros. So when the government says lend, banks lend. This puts China in a better position to recover from the recession, and that is in fact what has happened. Wherever you turn, we got people working for the other side. Wherever you turn, you got leftists working for the other team. He goes on and says, China is going to be a positive force in the world. Tell that to the people who have had their kidneys removed for having seditious literature in China called the U.S. Constitution. So there's George Soros over there stabbing us in the back once again. God, I can't wait until we go into court in England. I can't wait. I want to find out who sent that list of sound bites taken out of context to put me on the list of banned people. There's George Soros, upbeat about China, bashing America from China, and no one looks into whether or not he's bet against the U.S. dollar. Nobody. That's only one of many stories, but what can you do about it? U.S. top court judge delays Chrysler sale for now, right? They see if they can divide up a little more of the spoils. Carradine mystery deepens, family seeks FBI help. That's nonsense. In my opinion, that's a open and shut case. The guy went there for kinky sex, and either he got a heart attack and whatever was doing with him left the premises, I'm guessing now. I have no way to know. Or he did it himself and finally had a blowout. That's all after a lifetime of it. His ex-wife came out and said he liked, you know, kinky sex. That's why she left him. So they hire the shyster lawyer who hasn't won the last 10 cases. A big mouth, shoots his mouth off, takes everyone's money, never wins. They hire him to get the FBI. You hear? What? This has nothing to do with the FBI. Who's going to pay for the FBI to fly to Hong Kong and look at his corpse? I don't want the FBI investigating this. That's nonsense. It's to cover up what happened, to make you think it was the triads now. They came up with the kung fu experts killed him. I don't believe a word of it. They don't want his memory gone because why? The residuals will be bad from his kung fu movies. Of course they want to, oh yeah, he was a great guy, never did this. We want his image, you know, remembered for what it was, what it wasn't. We want the Hollywood image, not the closet job. Found a guy hanging in a closet with his schmendrick tied to his neck with his hands behind his back. I was supposed to believe some secret Chinese sect did that to him. What are they, crazy? The FBI, that's not an FBI case. Obama Obama this, Obama that. Number 10, Netanyahu wants maximum understanding with the U.S. Leave me alone with Netanyahu. I knew he was a BS artist. Every politician. Oh, when I get in power, I'll save the country. Yeah, all the same. Don't worry, elect me. Yeah, elect me. You think there'll be a big change in England? It's like Henry. It's like Ford is going to take over England now. You're not going to get a Ronald Reagan there. Oh, the Conservatives are going to win in England. It's like saying Ford. I don't even know his first name. What was his first name? Ford. President Ford. Gerald. The trip down the stairway. That's all I remember. It occurred around when Rockefeller, you know, got the heart attack on the secretary. Remember this. It's a well-known story in New York amongst New Yorkers. He was doing the secretary. He was a big fella. And he got a heart attack. He was in his 50s. Died on it. So now she's suffocating under the guy. He's like a whale on top of her. And she can't get out from under the desk. I remember when I was a kid, we all laughed. So she's fishing around with a hand looking for a telephone. You know, you picture the film noir version of this one. And she finds the phone, dials zero, says, "Help, the governor died on top of me." What? "The governor died on top of me. I think he had a heart attack." "Lady, come on, cut it out. What are you, call Bellevue. What kind of story is that?" "No, no, we were having wild, vigorous sex and he got a heart attack. Send the cops." Like four burly cops had to lift the governor off of her. Then they brushed that one up, the same as the Carradine thing. Really didn't happen. He was giving a speech about George Washington, and he tripped on the rug and fell on top of her. I mean, come on. I mean, certain things. Yeah, he slipped on Henry Kissinger's wig and fell. Kissinger worked for Rockefeller in those days in Fifth Avenue. Remember that, office? 53rd Street? Young, bright Henry came from Brooklyn, smart boy, like Metternich. Ooh, those kids, they're really smart. They come from that Talmudic tradition. What brains? What brains? He'll work for me. He'll go very far. And then he stabs the boys in the back in Vietnam. 8 months, the big Peking duck, and the guys are getting killed in the swamps while he's selling them down. Now he's a big consultant to China, another great American. Been going Sean Hannity's show. "Yes, Mr. Yes, sir. Yes, Mr. Kissinger. Yes, sir. I myself never went to high school, but you look very smart. Yes, sir." New York City, WR. Peter, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hello, Michael. You're having a surreal moment. You are at your best. The reason people won't respond, they're all numb out here. They're all numb.
No. Well, I'm doing free associational stuff today because I'm bored of the news. I'm bored of the news. What do you want me to do, like the Fox News variety?
No, you know
I can't do that anyway with the skirts and the lipstick.
You do what you do, my man.
You know that Fox News is getting worse by the day. I actually tuned them in yesterday. I was bored for 10 minutes after the boat. Who's that clown who was running for the presidency? That yokel from Alabama? What's his name? Arkansas. Does anyone know his name? He has a show on Sun? Huh? Huckabee. Huckabee the schmuck. Huckabee has a show on. The whole show on Fox News was a guy named Dion in the Belmonts. I said, this can't be happening. That's Fox News? We report, you decide he's dealing with Dion? That was his show? Wow, what a winning show that is. Great thinking, Roger. Thanks for the call. So what do you want me to do? Talk about, you want me to entertain you with free association? I'll do it. Whatever you want, I'll do whatever you want. I don't care. Because however, wherever my mind goes in a free associational move, I'll bring in politics like I did with Rockefeller and the secretary, then to Carradine. Then I bring in the news. I give you 10 of the top stories. And I free associate again. And boom, here I am back. So what would you like me to talk about? San Diego. Tim, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please. What's on your mind?
Mike, it's actually the scream of savageness. That's what we're talking about right now. The scream of savageness.
The scream of savageness. All right. The gestalt. The primal scream.
No, I just had to comment on when you talked about the Somali beekeeper. I stopped at a stoplight and I laughed out loud. The lady in the car next to me looked over at me like, "What the hell is going on over there?" You know, I just couldn't help it.
Well, I was still talking about they're all thin. Of course they're thin because they're starving to death. I could take an average Somali beekeeper and I fed him the diet I was raised on. He looked like an average American.
Yeah.
The only reason they look that way, that gaunt, is because they're eating wax and honey. That's all they're eating.
Mike, keep it, sustain it for the whole week because I need it this week, okay? You need to keep
why?
It going.
Tell me why you need it. Why? What's wrong this week?
Work, any manner of things that are
I going. Know. Family gets to your work, the economy, Obama stabbing us in the back on his European tour. I know, horrible. Well, what was he doing on Omaha Beach like he saved America? He stormed ashore on Obama Beach. I never saw anything like it. The Queen wasn't even there. The one woman who drove a truck in the British auxiliary. At least she could. She wasn't invited because Sarkozy. I don't like Sarkozy. He's short. It's not that he's short. That's not the reason I don't like him. Like in the crowd, like he was like the shortest guy. It's a sensitive issue for me. But he stood there like on his, like trying to make himself look taller. Is Carla Bruni, you think of him and really figure, okay, let's not go there. It's a family show. I don't think he could keep that woman. Come on. Are you kidding me? She looks like she needs Studley and his friends. I mean, she needs the Studley soccer team, that woman. Are you kidding? But Sarkozy, they don't invite Queen Elizabeth because they're very egotistical politicians. Now, don't bring her over, man. She got nice outfits, great colors, those British. And they go back 1,000 years. I'm an upstart, man. My family's from Greece. Even though I say I'm from France, I don't want her here. And Obama don't want her there either. Are you kidding? The Queen. God save the Queen. Sure. God save the Queen. They all stood there. It had nothing to do with World War II. The only woman who did wasn't there. What am I going to tell you? They made a mockery even of the Normandy thing. So there we are. You want to talk about movies? There's nothing in the movies. There's nothing as good as that movie. What was the name of the movie again? I threw it out. Mildred Pierce. I say Mildred Pierce, the movie. Mildred Pierce, I think of pierced ears, then pierced noses, pierced bodily orifices in America. Who knew that William Faulkner wrote Mildred Pierce? Warner Brothers feature Joan Crawford, Anne Blythe, Jack Carson, Zachary Scott, and Eve Arden in a Norse tale about a sacrificing mother and an ungrateful daughter. Unbelievable lighting. I don't know who the lighting man was. Screenplay was by Reynold McDougall. William Faulkner. How the heck did Faulkner? He went to Hollywood and did movies? A guy like Faulkner? Mildred Pierce was Crawford's first film. Well, she did Mommy Dearest later on. She was actually beautiful in 1945. Later on, because they had no Botox then, there was no Barbara Boxer-like cosmetics and no Nancy Pelosi-like surgical procedures. She was really well. She did become a nightmare like Mommy Dearest. You know, really, I mean, if they had the Botox that Nancy Pelosi uses apparently today, I think that Barbara Stanwyck would still be in the movies. She could still be in the movies 100 years later with the touch-ups. Mark in Los Angeles, welcome to the Savage Nation.
I grew up in the Jewish home, and this free association is giving me trouble. I can't breathe. I'm laughing so hard from you.
Well, I'm glad you're laughing. I hope you're laughing with me, not at me, but it doesn't matter either way, as long as you're enjoying yourself.
I had a grandmother that cooked for us, and if you say you didn't want any more, she'd say, take it. She'd throw the food on your plate. You had to eat your way out.
That's correct. But, you know, you heard my opening story about how women in that, and it wasn't just Jewish. It was Italian. It was Greek. I don't care what the Mediterranean ethnic background was. They all stuffed the men, and it was out of fear of men. It wasn't out of any love. You know that's true.
She'd grind the potato pancakes by hand. God, they didn't have the grinders like they have today. But I wanted to talk to you about the...
You triggered another thought. Grinder. You say grinder. I think of three things. The grinder's groove yard. Grinding in the finished basements in Queens to bump and grind music. And then the grinder in Moshe's butcher shop, because my aunt was suspicious and didn't trust him because he was a crook. She'd go and pick a steak out and say, grind it up and make it into chop meat. Don't worry, I'll do it. He'd go in the freezer. She'd go in with him because she knew he'd substitute the steak for bad meat.
I can't even look at tuna fish now without thinking about Big Al now. It reminds me of this hamburger.
No, you can't. Wait, you can't look at tuna without thinking of who?
Big Al, with his arm in this.
The arm. Even the tuna today is different. It tastes different. I don't know what happened to the oceans. The tuna doesn't taste like tuna fish anymore. What's on your mind, Mark?
I wanted to talk. The other day you were talking about animal intelligence and also about the dietary laws of the Jews. And I read about a theory about why the Jews cannot eat pork.
Why?
It goes back to the time when the Hebrews were in Egypt. And if you look at some of the writings, the hieroglyphics at the time, which was the pig was considered a sacred animal because the female pig, when it was pregnant with all the teats on it, would be walked through the fields because they thought that was the reason that the fields would be fertile. So you couldn't eat this animal. It was a sacred animal. And the Jews, the Hebrews at the time, they adopted the religions of anybody who conquered them.
What a loss. Look at all the Canadian bacon they missed.
they're worshiping animals.
All right. Look, there's a lot of religious laws that make sense and a lot that don't. A lot of it is mythology and some of it is primal and primitive, makes no sense anymore. With refrigeration, there's no reason you can't eat a pig if you like it. If you don't want to eat it and you think you're going to go to heaven because of it, good luck to you. There's more for us. But now with swine flu today, who knows where they're going to go with the whole pig thing. They're blaming it on the poor pig. But that's neither here nor there. Look, there's a lot of other animals you can't eat. The ostrich for no reason. Why is the ostrich on it? Why, because the Jews of the Sanhedrin in the temple wanted them for feathers? I don't know. Why would the ostrich not be on it? If the claw points to Jerusalem when the moon is high, but does not point to Yemen when the moon is low, you shall not eat it. I mean, some of it doesn't make sense to me. If you look at the Bible, which I have in my hand, where is it? I have the food. Here, wait. Here it is. I did this once. It's very funny. I go, these are living things which you shall eat among all the beasts that are on the earth. Whatsoever parteth the hoof and is wholly clove-footed and cheweth the cud among the beasts, you may eat. I don't know what that means. How would I know which animal parted a hoof and ate the cud? If I go to Safeway to buy myself some food for the night, and I like to shop, and it's in plastic, do I know if that meat is cloven-footed and cheweth the cud or not? It may as well say made from Neanderthal meat. I wouldn't know where it came from. Nevertheless, these shall ye not eat of them that only chew the cud, or of them that only part of the hoof. The camel, because he cheweth the cud, but parteth not the hoof, he is unclean unto you. Well, that gives him a life sentence. That was a close one. And the rock badger, because I'm not going to look into any rock badger, high in cholesterol. And the hare you cannot eat, because she cheweth the cud, but parteth not the hoof, she is unclean unto you. Well, that gives up all the Sunday dinners that Jimmy Carter was raised on. I'll be right back.
I got a whole lot of love for you, true, true love for you. I got a whole lot of love for you. I got a whole lot of for you, whole lot of.
All right, this one I don't care for. I don't like. There's certain songs you remember with certain emotional connections, but others mean nothing to you. I'm with rock and roll really kind of stuck in a certain era, but beyond that, the music doesn't do a thing for me. Basically, I'm right now living in an atonal world. I don't even like music. Whatever, I like it off in restaurant. I can't eat around music. Why do they have it on? Go in a restaurant. I asked them to close it in that private dining room. I was in that restaurant the other day I told you about. Private meal, no one knew, blah, blah, blah. Great room. Could you shut the sound off and come here to listen to this? Any music. I can't eat around it. Can't, like, masticate. Make sure you spell that properly. I was with two friends who could have a conversation. I went there to have a conversation and eat. Man, did I still. I ate so much cholesterol Saturday night. I haven't had as much in 3 years as I decided it doesn't matter anymore with Obama. I may as well eat it before they ban it. I ate two Peking ducks. Well, I didn't, not two myself. But before I went in, I said, could you please make two Peking ducks? I ate like a day before. Because I love it. I said, oh, my friend is a big eater. It was me I was talking about. Usually when you have one Peking duck, four people, it's like not enough, you know. It's like in the bun. I hate the hoisin sauce. Why do they make that gooey, like molasses-rich dreck? I don't get that. And the best part is the skin, which I happen to know is the richest in cholesterol. But if the duck was naturally raised, Donald and Daisy, and they like, you know, then the cholesterol is not really that big an issue. It's a type of cholesterol and what else is in the fat of the duck. It's great stuff. Oh, that crispy skin. And you say, guy, how can you give money to the elephant fund and to the gorilla fund, Michael, while you're eating a duck? I don't know. It's the kind of guy I am. It's not that I have anything against ducks, but I really never develop a taste for gorilla. And I wouldn't eat elephant meat. I'm not a pygmy. Okay, I don't know. It's cultural. A duck doesn't bother me eating. I figure it was foul. It was raised to be eaten. Elephant wasn't raised to be killed for its ivory. So some little pervert in Hong Kong, a tusk, you know, for $10,000. It's not what the elephant was designed for. It's heartbreaking, though, because they're so smart. It's the consciousness of the elephant as opposed to the duck. How they, like, make that sound. It's so plaintive, and they protect the babies. As the pygmies run under their guts and stab them with a spear. Put them on welfare. I'm telling them to stop that already.
Savage. Warning.
The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Here are some of the things that I've been talking about in the Savage Nation. Michael Savage toppled the Labour government in England. Sounds bizarre, doesn't it? Though the media in the United States refuses to discuss it, the far-left British government suffered huge defeats when the results came in from the latest elections over the weekend. And though the people of England are rightly upset at their corrupt leaders and the expensive scandal, they are also outraged at the suppression of free speech that Gordon Brown's socialist government imposed by banning me, Michael Savage, from the country. This week, I'll be sending a letter to Gordon Brown asking to have my name removed from the ban list. He has a chance to turn his electoral disaster into a victory for freedom of expression. If he does, what will he do? I'll let the Savage Nation take their best guess. Today, I gave an interview to a major British newspaper and defended myself against the vicious lies that the British government under Labour socialism promulgated about me. In part, my discussion with the reporter, I brought up Winston Churchill and his fight against socialism right after World War II. He knew that British freedom of expression depended on the defeat of socialism. He saw what the Soviets had done to people and people's freedom in Russia with socialism. He saw what was beginning to happen in Eastern Europe from socialism. And he saw the threat to Great Britain from socialism as well. He knew that a socialist state will not tolerate freedom of speech. He knew that it would not tolerate democracy. And the only way socialism could survive was to force its ideas on people through the use of coercion. And in this part of the speech, he foresaw the development of the modern police state as it has largely come to pass in England today. Listen to Winston Churchill now.
No socialist system can be established without a political police. Many of those who are advocating socialism or voting socialist today will be horrified at this idea. That is because they are short-sighted. That is because they do not see where their theories are leading them. No socialist government conducting the entire life and industry of the country could afford to allow free, sharp, or violently worded expressions of public discontent. They would have to fall back on some form of Gestapo.
A Gestapo. What other word can you use to describe a state which bans a man for expressing his ideas and defames him by taking his sound out of context and placing his name alongside murderers and terrorists? But Churchill knew that a socialist form of government could never tolerate criticism. Listen to him again.
This would nip in the bud opinion and its forms. It would stop criticism and it reared its head. And it would gather all the power to the Supreme Party and the party leaders rising like stately pinnacles above their vast bureaucracies of civil servants. No longer servants and no longer civils.
Churchill was a man who was ahead of his time, but unfortunately there's no Churchill now and no England now. Now look at America. You're telling me that this socialist government under Obama is not much different? We all know the allegations that Obama's Acorn Group falsified voter registrations to get him elected. Of course, that had nothing to do with Obama getting elected. Representative Steve King from Iowa joins us now to give us an update on what's going on with Acorn in Congress.
Well, Michael, thanks for having me on. It's good to be back with you again in the Savage Nation. I know this subject matter of Acorn is on the minds and lips of a lot of Americans. They're astonished that there can be an organization that has already used up $53 million taxpayer dollars to advance, in many cases, a partisan agenda, to be the get-out-the-vote organization for Democrats. and still be tapping into the American taxpayer dollars as if they were a bipartisan or a nonpartisan organization that provided some kind of useful service to the country. So having passed the House, legislation shepherded through by Barney Frank himself, the chairman of the Financial Services Committee, and the individual who for years had worked from the minority to try to implement some language changes through the Financial Services Committee that would allow Acorn to qualify for federal tax dollars, our tax dollars, has finally succeeded, and the authorization that has passed out of the Financial Services Committee that had an amendment that had been tacked on by Michelle Bachmann of Minnesota that would have prohibited that money from going to Acorn. Barney Frank went livid, and they changed the language after it passed committee, the Financial Services Committee, so that Acorn would qualify.
The Dems would change the wording of a bill to include Acorn?
And I know that's an astonishing concept, that a bill that passed out of committee would be changed after the fact. They've done that at least three times in this Pelosi-led Congress. But that bill authorized in three different categories. Well, actually, the previous one was under the stimulus package, $3 billion under stimulus that Acorn could qualify for. And then under the Housing and Urban Development, CDBG, Community Development Block Grants, $4.5 billion, another $1 billion under Affordable Housing Trust Fund. Altogether, if the Senate approves the language that has passed the House, there would be $8.5 billion that would be authorized, ultimately appropriated, and would be available that Acorn could have a part of. Acorn, the organization that has apparently confessed to being part of introducing over 400,000 fraudulent voter registration forms. They have just destroyed the integrity of the voter registration rolls in states like Ohio. They're under investigation in under 12 or more states. And with all of that eroding the integrity of our election process, they claim that, well, nobody really voted illegally or fraudulently. It was just voter registration forms. They don't really mean anything. Well, they do. They erode the integrity of the voter registration list. They make it impossible to maintain a level of integrity at the polls. And who could argue that out of maybe a 500,000, plus or minus 100,000 or so, out of that many fraudulent voter registration forms, including Mickey Mouse, Donald Duck, the entire Dallas Cowboys football team registered in Nevada, and by the way, we all know they're from Texas, all of those registration forms, no one voted fraudulently. I'll submit that many did, but it's almost the perfect crime once someone walks out of the voting booth or mails their absentee ballot. You can't trace it back to the individual. And so they have eroded our election process, and they are here qualifying now for part of the $8.5 billion that has been authorized by the House of Representatives under this Pelosi Congress and under Barney Frank's leadership.
Well, what do you think Obama's ties to Acorn really are?
Acorn says not, but he was their attorney, and he argued a case before the court on a motor voter piece of litigation, successfully, I'm told. They say that he was pro bono on that, which, of course, means for free. He was still an employee. He also was a paid employee of Project Vote. That was the get-out-the-vote drive in Chicago where Obama made his political reputation. And he has since bragged to Acorn that he headed up Project Vote in Chicago. So there's three pieces of Obama that make him Acorn.
What's going on with the census?
Well, yes, with the census. We have the President of the United States who has politicized the census process, and it would be expected to go through the Department of Commerce. And we heard that disagreement as Judd Gregg was looking at going in as Secretary of Commerce. But in any case, the census now, it looks like it's going to be overseen. The White House has announced that they're going to oversee the census from the White House, even though it will be run from the Department of Commerce. And who would you guess would be a contractor that has already contracted to work for the U.S. Census but Acorn? Acorn, at least to represent the temporary employee recruitment component of this. So you know there will be some of the more than a million of the Acorn workers that will be working for the Census out there counting noses, counting people, whether they're American citizens or whether they're legal or whether they're illegal or whether they're actually real people. We don't know that. If they can't turn in a legitimate voter registration form, why would we think they can count people? And there is a lot at stake, billions of dollars and lots of freedom at stake under Acorn and under this census that is going to unfold in 2010. So I think Acorn should be investigated. And I think they should be investigated by Congress, although I don't hold out great hope that the people holding the gavels and chairing these committees are not going to protect their own reputations and their own connection with Acorn. And at the same time, they should be investigated by the Department of Justice. But yet, we know that the Department of Justice sometimes need to be embarrassed into this. I think the department is more politicized than it's ever been. And the only way that we can get to the bottom of this situation with Acorn is if we have enough public indignation, enough public hue and cry, enough demand that there be justice served, and that served through legitimate investigations in Congress, out in the open, where the media can cover it, and also by the Department of Justice, and very, very thoroughly. Let's track all the money. No one really knows how expansive, how extensive, and how many fingers are in the Acorn pie. We know they are, though. That's enough for me. It's enough to make every American, I would think, concerned whether they're Democrats, Independents, or Republicans, because our very constitutional republic is at stake. That'll be my summary of Acorn, Michael. I just appreciate an opportunity to discuss this with you and a chance that I know there will be millions of Americans who will hear about it because you've helped make it an issue.
Representative King, thanks for being on the Savage Nation.
Well, thank you. And Michael, on that issue with Great Britain, I'll say this. They don't understand the freedoms that we have that come from God, that are guaranteed in our Constitution the same way that we do here. But that underscores this need to defend and protect our Constitution here in the United States. And if I can find a way to help you find a silver lining, I'm here to do that. No, thanks for what you do. Thanks a lot, Michael.
This is the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Obama Beach. That's right, not Omaha Beach, but Obama Beach. Over the weekend, the 65th anniversary of the D-Day invasion was celebrated. Notable for her absence was Queen Elizabeth of England, the only world leader still alive who actually served in World War II. Notable for his absence of mind was the Prime Minister of England, Gordon Brown. He attended the ceremony and in his speech referred to Omaha Beach, one of the landing sites for the invasion which liberated Europe, as Obama Beach. Play it.
Next to Obama Beach, we join President Obama in paying particular tribute to the spectacular bravery of American soldiers who gave their lives on Omaha Beach.
You see, this was a Freudian slip. In the mind of Gordon Brown, Obama was responsible for the Allied invasion of Europe in World War II and the defeat of Nazism. In the minds of leftists across Europe and the United States, Obama himself, not his grandfather, was responsible for liberating the Jews from the death camps. It was Obama who landed on the beaches of Normandy. It was Obama who stopped the German counterattack in the Battle of the Bulge. It was Obama who personally entered the Führer bunker and brought a cowering Hitler into the light of day to answer for his crimes. This is the level of insanity amongst the global left. But something else Gordon Brown said made perfect sense. He said that those who landed on the beaches at Normandy showed that tyranny can suppress people, but it can't last forever. Listen.
Those men who risked everything 65 years ago demonstrated that although tyranny may suppress, it cannot endure forever. They proved that dictatorship may for a time have the power to dictate, but that it will not in the end decide the course of the human journey.
That's absolutely correct, Mr. Brown. The tyranny of your home office can suppress those such as myself by banning me from England, by placing my good name on a list with murderers and terrorists, by dragging me through the dirt, but this oppression cannot last forever. So, Mr. Prime Minister Brown, I appeal to you to end this tyranny. Take my name off the banned list. Restore my good name and restore freedom of expression in the land of the Magna Carta. The people of England are crying out for action. They have just handed a huge electoral victory to your political opponents. But if you act quickly, you can change your own political fortunes. If you demonstrate to the citizens of your nation that you are not a despot trying to oppress free thought, they may yet keep you in power. Ignore the will of the people who are overwhelmingly opposed to my being banned, and they will give their judgment on the next election day. Now, if you want to talk about Obama, Osama, this and that, fine, what else? The big news today is that the Supreme Court just blocked the sale of Chrysler to Fix It Again Tony. They told Fix It Again, Tony, no, you may not have Chrysler for a song, at least not yet. And that means that the liberals have not yet cut out enough of the pie for themselves and their cronies. Because all this is a holding operation. They're blocking the Chrysler sale to Fix It Again, Tony, in order to see what other money they can carve out of the deal for themselves. You know, that's what it comes down to. It's all money. Two journalists sentenced to 12 years hard labor in North Korea. U.S. does nothing. Obama considers halting North Korea shipments, but does nothing. Supreme Court rejects a challenge to Don't Ask, Don't Tell. They lose again. 5-4. Another beating. Obama comes up with another fiction. He's going to create 600,000 jobs this summer. Nobody knows where. Obama wants to tax the wealthy to fund the health overhaul. That means so that illegal aliens can get even better medical care. Those of us who make a decent living and work for it will be taxed again. USA moved to the left. Under Obama, we have a neo-Marxist administration, while the European Union, which had an experience with this for many years, has thrown out the socialist globalists and moved to the right. We have not yet had our socialist experience. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. I have a number of other personal things I'm going to talk about. I may as well do it now, since you're not interested in the news. That's all. The news you can get anywhere. You can go to the internet and get it on Drudge. You can get it on this one, that one. You heard it all before already on Blani. Blani and Wallbang already covered it and then promoted their television show. They gave you a little job. Used the radio platform to push the TV show. But let me start with food, because that's something that I specialize in. And first of all, I had the best Chinese meal of my life at Shanghai 1930. Let me get it out of the way. Yes, my friends own the restaurant. No, I get nothing for this. I haven't been there in over a year. But, you know, there's such a difference between Chinese food that you know and high-end cuisine that it's worth talking about. The reason I went is because they gave me a private dining room for four people. So I wasn't seen. I was not even heard. I was like a child, not seen nor heard, which is the only way I can eat. I don't like restaurants because I can't stand listening to other people talk. Call it a quirk. Call it a quirk of mine. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Obama quotes the Quran. Obama may have put his hand on a Bible when he was sworn in as president, but when it comes to giving speeches, it seems he prefers a different book. Yes, in the speech he gave last week to the Muslim world, Obama quoted the Quran. But don't go calling him a Muslim. That would be racist. Supreme Court stays sale of Chrysler to Fiat. For once, the Supreme Court seems to have gotten it right this year. They stayed the sale of Chrysler to a foreign company. Ruth Bader Girl Ginsburg made the announcement today. Is the court having a real change of heart, or is this just a fluke? We have talked about Obama quoting from the Quran during his Cairo speech. It's up on michaelsavage.com. Joining us now from WorldNet Daily is Aaron Klein, who reported on this story.
I'm here in the Middle East, Michael, where a lot of people last week were paying attention to President Obama's major address to the Muslim world. He was speaking from Cairo, Egypt, and a lot of Obama's speech received massive attention. But there was one section of Obama's address to the Muslim world that until now went largely unnoticed. It turns out, Michael, get this, that President Obama actually quoted from a section of the Quran that urges Muslims to wage jihad against non-believers.
What? Are you kidding?
I'm not kidding you. This was in the beginning of Obama's speech where he was stressing the need for a new beginning between the United States and the Muslim world, and also the need for a sustained effort to listen to each other. So he was talking about reconciliation between Muslims and non-Muslims. And here, during his speech, Obama quoted from the Quran. By the way, actually, he quoted four times from the Islamic text, and every time he called it the Holy Quran.
We have a clip. Play it.
The Holy Quran tells us, be conscious of God and speak always the truth. That is what I will try to do today.
Anyway, I looked up this particular section of the Quran. It turns out that it comes from chapter 9, verse 119, and it's actually dealing with the theme of jihad, of specifically waging jihad with the Prophet Muhammad against the non-Muslims. The verse and this section of the Quran continues about the need for Allah to spread Islam and the need to inflict hardship upon the enemy. And actually, this is dealing in a section of the Quran where Muhammad was dwelling in Medina. He was on his way to Mecca to battle the non-Muslims and spread Islam. And he was on his way, particularly in an expedition, a war expedition, to an area called Al-Tabuk, which is in northern Arabia. And it turned out that a lot of local Muslims in Medina did not follow Muhammad on his way to wage war against the non-Muslims. And so this Quranic verse was scolding Muslims to always join the jihad against non-believers. And I wanted to verify that indeed this section of the Quran that Obama quoted last week during his speech to the Muslim world, that indeed this was talking about jihad against non-Muslims.
What did you find out?
I called several Quranic experts, and they confirmed that indeed this was the case. They said that this particular section of the Quran, where it talks about be conscious of God and speak always the truth, it's used for two reasons. One, first, is to stress the need to speak the truth of Allah. But the second part, the second major lesson that is learned from this particular verse, is that even in times of hardship, Muslims should always join the jihad against non-believers. I actually talked, for example, to Abu Ubaidah al-Ahmed, who is the imam, that would be the sheikh, of a major central mosque in Gaza City. And he told me that he has many times pointed to this particular part of the Quran as showing the importance of joining jihad and following Muhammad in jihad, even when war might be difficult. So there you have it, Michael. In the midst of Obama's speech, where, by the way, he talked to the Muslim world and did not use the word terrorism once, and also he claimed that Islam is not part of the problem, when I'll tell you, I've interviewed many times terrorist leaders here in the Middle East who constantly, of course, used Islam, used the Quran specifically to justify their terrorism, to justify their sending suicide bombers into nightclubs and cafes and on the buses. But according to Obama, Islam is not part of the problem. And I'll tell you, Michael, speaking of terrorism, the Homeland Security Secretary, Janet Napolitano, by the way, just swore in an official to her advisory board. That would be the board that is advising your security in the United States of America. She swore in an official who has some very interesting views on the subject of terrorism and jihad. Now, I'm talking about, and this is a major breaking story, I'm talking about last week, Napolitano swore in an Arab-American official. His name is Karim Shura. He's the executive director of what's known as the Arab-American Anti-Discrimination Committee, also known as the ADC.
Well, who is this ADC?
Now, I did a little investigation into this ADC and into just what it is that this organization, that now their official is going to be advising the Homeland Security Department, what it is that this organization does and their views on certain subjects. And it turns out that many senior officials of this organization, that again, their leader is now going to advise the Homeland Security Department, they have glorified terrorism. They have called jihadist organizations heroes. For example, in 2000, the president of the ADC called Hezbollah, that would be the Hezbollah terrorist organization in Lebanon, a, quote, disciplined and responsible liberation force. In 2004, the president of this organization, again, whose director now is going to be advising the Homeland Security Department, he celebrated Hezbollah fighters as heroes.
Unbelievable.
By the way, Hezbollah doesn't just wage war against Israel. It doesn't just wage war against Christians and non-Shiites in Lebanon. Hezbollah is second only to Al-Qaeda among terrorist organizations around the world responsible for killing more Americans. That's right. Hezbollah is absolutely anti-American, and the officials of this organization, the ADC, believe that Hezbollah fighters are heroes. Also in 1994, at one of the main peaks of Hamas terrorism against Israel, this is when suicide bombers were blowing themselves up left and right on Israeli buses, the president of the ADC at the time, and again, this is the organization whose leader now is advising the Homeland Secretary and the Homeland Security Department, they actually said that Hamas should not be labeled a terrorist organization. This chief of the ADC said he doesn't believe that Hamas as an organization is violent. Now, another thing, the ADC, whose leader, again, is on the advisory board to our Homeland Security, they have a very close relationship to the anti-Israel professor at Columbia University, Rashid Khalidi.
Well, remind us who this is.
It was Khalidi's association with President Barack Obama that caused a lot of controversy for Obama while he was a presidential candidate. Khalidi is an apologist for Palestinian terror. There are reports that he may have worked for the PLO while that PLO was waging war against not only Israel, but also Europeans and Americans. Khalidi has spoken at several events hosted by the ADC, and at some of these speeches, he's actually justified war, justified terrorism against armed Israelis. Now, I also really quickly want to look at this organization, whose leader is now advising the Homeland Security Department, and what their views are on some anti-terrorism measures that the United States has been taking since 9/11. They've actively lobbied against the Patriot Act. They've actively lobbied against the National Security Entry and Exit Program system, which, by the way, screens particular people who come from problemed areas of the world. And also, should America have a problem with a particular individual who they believe is a national security threat, this organization, the National Security Entry and Exit Program, will make sure that this individual undergoes fingerprinting, photographing, additional registration should he try to enter the United States of America. And these are the kinds of actions that the ADC poses. And so now their executive director is advising the Homeland Security Department. So apparently Napolitano has a problem with right-wingers in the United States. She has a problem with conservatives, but she doesn't have a problem with putting on her board an individual who has very troubling views when it comes to anti-American jihadist organizations.
Thanks for the updates, Aaron.
Michael, thank you very much.
I'll be right back. It's the Savage Nation. Savage. Here's what's on michaelsavage.com. Savage brings down Labour Party, biggest story in the United Kingdom. That's right. Labour, which has been engulfed in an MP expense scandal and the illogical banning of talk radio host Michael Savage in Great Britain. Don't look for that in your local newspaper. I'm on the enemies list of ABC, CBS, NBC, Fox News, and everywhere else. Court rejects challenge to don't ask, don't tell. Well, score one for the military. Mark Hyman writes, Obama's enemy list grows. Now, what does that mean? You'll have to look into it. It says just having the appearance of someone who might possibly vote for an opponent of Obama could land them on the president's enemies list, where proxies do their dirty work. Read it. Going down the page, it says, please help Savage banned in Britain. Click here to read letter. Free autograph picture of Savage and Teddy with each purchase of psychological nudity. My great autobiography, Savage Radio Stories. Available only on michaelsavage.com. From WorldNet Daily, we learned the Obama speech quoted a jihad verse from the Quran. That's right, a jihad verse from the Quran. From USA Today, lawmakers donate your money to themselves. Till now, the public had little insight into special interest cash that honors lawmakers or funds nonprofits connected to them. But now we know. From the NY Times, China requires censoring on their new PCs. Did you hear this? Coming to a neighborhood near you? Associated Press reports, a judge has said illegals have protections against raids by ICE. Even though they're non-citizens, even though they broke into the country, this dumb judge said that federal agents violated the constitutional rights of illegal immigrants. Can you believe this? From the New York Post, terrorists free to kill again as they slip through Gitmo's kid gloves. Let's hope they don't wind up in the backyard of some liberal in your neighborhood. On the bottom of michaelsavage.com, before I remove it, I suggest you download and read my defamation complaint against the Home Secretary of England. It's very important because she has lost her job. We do not know what's coming this week, but on Wednesday of this week, an open letter to Gordon Brown will appear in a major newspaper in England. It will not be published in America. Because Michael Savage has been blacklisted by Fox, ABC, CBS, NBC, and all other outlets. there's a lot of news. There's no news. It's the best of times. It's the worst of times. You know, we could talk about news. We could talk not about the news. We could talk about Chinese food, Italian food. I'd say Irish food, but there is none. I'm joking. Don't get mad. I've been in enough Irish bars to tell you that they're not known for that. Okay, let's not get angry now. All of a sudden, don't bring up anger now. Let's start telling me dishes with lamb. Okay, Chicago, Tom. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yeah, Michael, I wanted to know what health benefits, if any, are provided by the squid ink and squid ink pasta.
I give you the philosophy of 1,000 years of evolution. Don't seek excitement, seek fulfillment. And I get a question about squid ink. All right, that's the nature of the business I'm in. Wait, I will refer to the Bible, Deuteronomy 27:12. If a caller asketh thou about squid ink after thou hast given thy heart and thy mind, tell him to shove it! I know, you don't actually find that in Deuteronomy. On to other topics. The use of electric shock treatment has been in the news recently. Most people probably think this is something from the past or even illegal. Joining us today to discuss electric shock treatment is Dr. Peter Breggin.
Michael, shock treatment or ECT is not illegal anywhere. In the United States, shock doctors have successfully fought every effort by the states to keep a tally. But it's likely that several hundred thousand patients are shocked each year in America, including some children. Nearly all psychiatric hospitals and psychiatric wards have shock machines. Shock treatment is very remunerative. A shock doctor can make more in 1 hour than a therapist can make working all day long. Protests against shock treatment are going on right now in Canada, Ireland, and the United States. An international organization called Mind Freedom has been fighting involuntary shock treatment. In Minnesota, a 55-year-old man is being forced by the courts to come from his home to the hospital for shock treatment. However, force is rarely required after the first or second shock treatment because the brain-injured patient becomes compliant and does whatever he is told. Someone else has to step in to stop the abuse.
Who started this practice?
It began in the 1930s when doctors in state hospitals were searching for new and more effective ways of controlling patients by damaging their brains. In those days, it was acceptable to admit that your goal was actually to kill brain cells. ECT was invented in Italy when psychiatrists learned that shocks to the head were used to knock out pigs before slaughtering them. If the pigs weren't slaughtered, they eventually got back on their feet. They lived. So, hey, let's try it on hospital patients. The first jolt to the first patient didn't knock him out, and he struggled to get free, screaming, "Murder!" They shocked him again, and he was docile and passive when he awakened. This is documented in the scientific literature.
How is the treatment done?
Electroshock treatment involves putting electrodes to the head and inflicting sufficient electric current to cause a major seizure with a coma-like unconsciousness. Usually, the electrodes are placed on both sides of the head, sometimes on one side. The heaviest jolt of electricity goes into the frontal lobes, the highest mental centers, and also into the tip of the temporal lobe, where damage destroys memory function. Eventually, the patient will be in a state of delirium as he comes out of the shock treatment, confused, disoriented, not knowing where he is. Animal shock studies with low doses of electricity in large animals like monkeys and dogs show small hemorrhages and cell death throughout the brain, but most intense in the frontal lobe. ECT is literally a closed-head electrical lobotomy. Many patients lose memory for years of their lives and even their professional knowledge. They become unable to function at home or at work. Recently, I was a medical expert in the first shock malpractice suit ever won in court in front of a jury for damaging a woman with shock treatment, wiping out her nursing career. In 2007, a follow-up of patients given routine ECT showed that they remained mentally devastated years afterward, suffering from ECT-induced dementia. This carefully conducted scientific study was led by Harold Sackheim, a leading shock advocate. Psychiatrists ignored the study.
Well, why is this still going on in today's world?
Psychiatry pretends to be modern science, but it's based on that 1930s philosophy of causing brain damage and dysfunction. Lobotomy and electroshock aren't the only examples. Every psychiatric drug works by disrupting normal brain function. That's how they're discovered. Test drugs are given to rats until one is found that disrupts the normal biochemistry of the mammalian brain. But after the drug is approved for use and put on the market, the drug company will claim that it fixes biochemical imbalances when it really is causing them. Meanwhile, mounting evidence reviewed in my latest medical book shows that every kind of psychiatric drug can cause permanent brain damage during prolonged use.
Why don't they stop electric shock?
Psychiatry cannot call a halt to shock treatment or even lobotomy, which still goes on in a few medical centers like Harvard and Brown University. To prohibit these treatments would be an open admission that damaging the brain is a bad idea. And that would expose psychiatric drugs to the same criticism, since all of them also cause brain damage and dysfunction. For example, it would lead to recognition that giving Ritalin and Adderall and other drugs to children makes them docile and obedient by harming their normal brain function. Psychiatry will never back down on its own. Only determined and informed public opposition will stop these abusive practices. That's why I've devoted my life to telling the truth about my profession. Meanwhile, the FDA enables all this to happen. The federal agency is mandated to evaluate the safety and efficacy of health technology, but it ignored the shock machines for decades. In the 1990s, the FDA declared its intention to require the testing of shock machines for safety, but then backed down in the face of furious opposition from the American Psychiatric Association. Once again, we cannot rely on the government to monitor or control even the most abusive healthcare practices. That brings us to what I call the primary principles, the refrain of my weekly report. Protect freedom, take responsibility at all times, express gratitude for all your gifts and opportunities, become a source of love. This is psychiatrist Peter R. Breggin, M.D. You can find me and listen to all these reports and download the transcripts at Breggin.com. That's Breggin.com.
Thanks, Dr. Breggin. This is the Savage Nation. With God's will and your listenership, I shall return.
Savage.